Good evening. How are y'all? I'd like to let you know that I'm glad to be here and glad that you chose to be here. If you're visiting with us, this is the fourth Sunday of the month, which means that the men of the congregation are given the opportunity to prepare and present a lesson. And so I thank the elders for that opportunity, and I hope if you haven't taken the opportunity to do so, or I encourage you to do try to do a lesson. This is the first time since 2009 that I've done a lesson longer than 10 minutes, so I'm a little nervous. I've been told that if I acknowledge and say that I'm afraid, then I will take away some power out of that fear. So let me just say that I'm nervous and afraid. Not scared of y'all or think that y'all are too critical, but just nervous that I hope to present a clear and beneficial message. So moving on. Tonight's lesson I'm looking at distractions and how it's a tool for the devil in keeping us from growing closer to God. And there are many distractions in life. Pretty much anything that we do in life, any activity, the devil can turn into some sort of distraction from God. I'm going to look at three kind of broad topics. You're more than willing to insert any of your, if you know of any of your personal distractions, you can plug those in. The first one I like to look at is work. Is work evil? No. We know that work isn't evil. Are we supposed to work? I think we all know that the answer is yes. Scripturally, you can look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 9. And that's in the giving of the law. As we read last year, verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the holy. So that alludes to the fact that there's 6 days to work. And then if you want, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul is talking to the Thessalonians on how they should live their lives. And in verse 11, he continues and says, to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we command you. And then one letter over in 2 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verse 12. Rather, verse 11, we'll start. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. So clearly we see that work is not evil in itself. We're supposed to work. But the question to ask is the work that you do, are you working so much that you're missing worship? Or are the projects or tasks at work consuming so much of your time that you have no time or energy to focus or think about God? The government's Bureau of Labor and Statistics does a yearly survey, the ATUS, or American Time Use Survey. The latest publication was from the 2013 year, and the survey states that the average working adult works 8.5 hours on the days that they work. The second point that I'd like to look at, or second distraction, is household activities or chores. Are chores evil? Well, Depends on who you ask. But no, chores are not in themselves sinful. I don't think we have to look to Scripture to know that we are supposed to maintain the blessings and possessions that God has given us. We need to upkeep our house, cleaning, washing dishes. Those are all necessities and part of life. And so I think it's common knowledge and acceptance that that is not a sinful act. But the question is, are you so consumed or worried about a clean house that you forfeit time with God? Or are you so consumed and worried about landscape projects or home decorations that you forget about God? Again, going to the survey, the ATU states that the average American adult spends 2.5 hours a day in household activities or chores. The third distraction is leisure. Is leisure evil? Well, of the three, I think it's probably the closest that could be considered evil. But no, leisure, I don't think, is evil. You can look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 7. Solomon in Ecclesiastes is talking about the vanity of life. And chapter 9, verse 7. Solomon says, "Go, then, eat your bread in happiness and drink your wine with a cheerful heart, for God has already approved your works." Skipping down to verse 9. "Enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun, for this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun." So I think it's proper and fitting for us to enjoy the blessings that God has given us. And so, again, leisure foundationally is not evil. And the question we should ask is, are we so engrossed with our sports or our crafts or our music or our exercise that we lose focus and lose sight of God? Again, citing the survey, they found that 5.5 hours each day is spent towards leisure, of which 3.5 hours is towards TV. So if you're keeping up with the time spent during the day in activities, we have work with 8.5 hours. We have household chores at 2.5 and leisure at 5.5, and that comes up to 16.5 hours. So you have plenty of time throughout the day to study and read God's Word, except for we're forgetting about sleep. If you look at the survey found that the average American adult sleeps 8.5 hours a night. I don't know who they surveyed, but that's not in my house. But seriously, 8.5 hours of sleep. Well, I'm not a mathematician, but 16.5 and 8.5 is not 24. We're out of time. So the point is, we are way too busy in our lives. So what's the result of all this busyness? Satan is using it as a distraction. He uses it as a tool to keep us from God. Our relationship with God suffers, and it grows cold, and we become ineffective. You may ask, why do I need to grow close to God? Or, I'm never going to be as good as God or equal to God, so why should I try? Or if I do try, how close is close enough? look back at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, in the creation account. We see God creating man, and he does something unique. Verse 27 reads, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." So we are and have God's image within us. The greatest description of God is his perfect love. We are God's crowning creation. The only beings on earth with his image built into us. Before us, there is no awareness within creation of God. No rocks, no trees, no birds, no fish, no dogs, no cats ever took time to give thanks to God for being created. So we are unique in that. We have a common structure within all of us. We have God's love within us. To grow closer to God is to grow in perfecting the love of God. And to deny this is to stifle the image of God within ourselves. And what is the greatest manifestation or example we have of love? We see that in John 15, verse 13. John 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." It is the story of the gospel, of how God came down to earth in the form of man, was willing to live a sinless, obedient life, to subject himself to mankind, to die a death on the cross, to take the punishment and the penalty of sin on himself, and to be resurrected, conquering the wages of sin. I'm going to borrow something from Kyle McDonald that he did a while back. He'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4. "Knowing to exchange the word love and the pronouns for my name." 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. "Drew is patient. Drew is kind. And Drew is not jealous. Drew does not brag and is not arrogant. Drew does not act unbecomingly. And Drew does not seek his own. Drew is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Drew does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And Drew bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." If I'm going to grow closer to God and in perfecting his image within myself, these are the attributes that I have to work on. This is what I would look like with perfect love. So how do we grow closer and perfect the godly image within? We have to discipline ourselves by reading scriptures and dwelling on them, not reading them as a textbook or as a checklist. We have to be continually in prayer. We have to have a relationship, a speaking relationship with God, our Father. And we have to be in fellowship with fellow Christians, especially at the worship setting. And by doing this, we are fortifying ourselves as effective tools in bringing the lost to God, so that they may recognize His grace and that they may lead a faithful, obedient life that continues the cycle of bearing witness to God and the gospel of Christ. So, I need to be careful in my time allocation, because if I'm focused on the events of this life, then I am neglecting my relationship with God. And if that suffers, then I'm not laying down my life for the life of my fellow man so that they may live. I've become fruitless and therefore a branch deserving to be burned. If you are a Christian tonight and you find yourself distracted, fix it. We have friends, family here. We all struggle with this. We all need to find someone to talk to help keep us focused on the goal. If you're not a Christian, the world is continually going to distract you. Satan is going to continually use the world and the love of this world to distract you. You were created for more than just this world. If you have a need tonight, you can come down front. We will be more than glad to help you with it. If you would, stand with me as we sing this invitation song.